Hello, everybody, and welcome to our 21st program here. In one of the earliest books, Letters on Occult Meditation, and that LOOMVC stands for Letters on Occult Meditation Video Commentary. Today is the 13th. The 13th of August, 2020. And we're continuing with a new section. The section on the growth and development of the centers. Now we've looked at the centers here. I brought them in, and let's see if we can find where all of this begins. It's on the fundamental centers. Yeah, that's where we began. And the periods when the centers are developing, and we're given mainly five centers because we're leaving out the sacral center, and we're uniting the two major head centers considered as one. So now we finished with period five. And he's given us some excellent information here about the centers that are found in the astral body and also in the lower mental body. And on the higher mental plane, they don't really exist yet. They exist as the egoic lotus. That means that the solar angel of the presence, have stimulated the process because a gap existed and the entire mental body was not filled in with its centers. It will be. And then the chakras on the buddhic plane are not drawn, nor on the atmic, nor on the monadic, and maybe we can assume there are vortices as well on the logoic plane. You know, we get the hint that 35 vortices of fire make the master. So where are those 35 going to come from, except for seven times five? Five planes and seven centers on each. So now we'll continue here with the growth and development of the centers. We will now enumerate the centers again. Now, this is a huge study, and the first root race the first subrace of the fifth root race has made a tremendous study of these matters. But we're not going to go into all of the details. All of the there are many Sanskrit letters that are assigned to the various petals of the various chakras, and they all have a specific meaning in terms of the kind of powers that the centers can display. The numerology too is dominating and has a great significance. So, we will now enumerate the centers again, this time considering their psychic correspondences, and we'll note the colors and the number of petals. Now, Leadbeater had done this as well, and it would be interesting to compare what is said by Leadbeater and what is said by the Tibetan, I believe earlier, in earlier years than Leadbeater's writings on these matters. So, okay. Let's see what kind of associations we can find when we are looking at them one after another. They are oftentimes multiples of four. Three times four, four times four, two times four. There, I think there is a center with eight petals. It's not one of the ones usually referred to. And the 96, we have, let's see, four and two. Okay. So 40, how does it go? Four into 96, two times carry one over, 24 times four. And maybe we could get something as well out of the 960 petals of the head center plus the 12. And that would be 240 times and maybe 243 times if we add the 12 as well for 972. So the first center, the base of the spine, four petals. We're in the fourth round and the number four is the anchor. It tells us that the base of the spine has much to do with rooting us on the four lower ethers and to a certain extent in the dense physical vehicle of man. When we reach the fifth round, he tells us that the root number will be five when it comes to the enumeration of petals in the various chakras, because it will be, the fifth round. Okay. And that's an odd number, and that's rather interesting. It makes you wonder whether in the third round the root number was three, and so forth. Anyway, four is our foundation. It is the square, and this is having to do with the base of the spine center and the adrenal glands on top of the kidneys. So these petals are in the shape of a cross. And hence the foundational nature of the cross, and radiate with orange fire. Now that will connect them somewhat with Vulcan, that rules the head center. But of course, the head center must connect with the base of the spine center, ruled by the base of the spine center. Which is ruled by Pluto, and also by the Earth and by Mercury. Interesting, Mercury is involved there with its number four, and the Earth, the symbol of the Earth, is very much like the symbol for the base of the spine center, the cross and the circle. The orange fire has to do with a solar note, the solar note D. If we begin on the red note C, that's an orange note, and it's connected with the sun and with Vulcan. Also, you have to realize that the foundational note, or rather color, of the solar angels is orange. Above all, the orange is the first color to appear. And the orange is considered as a complement of some shade of blue, just the way yellow and violet are complementary, and green and red are complementary. The exact frequency, you know, has to be studied there, because, you know, you have a whole range of reds and a whole range of greens, but we're looking for the ones that are completely complementary. So this is a foundational color, and it has to do with etheric anchoring. There are four ethers, and I think you'll see them if we get into this. Yeah, I'm going to have to pull them up from elsewhere, which I will do. just hold on for a minute and I'll be right with you. Yeah, these diagrams from that Tuya made are very useful, and they are as close to the correct colors we can get. Okay, so what we see here, and now you should see it, is the four ethers, and the base of the spine has a particular connection with the four ethers, just the way the sacral center, which is oftentimes eliminated, has a connection with the dense physical plane. Now, the vitalization of the dense physical plane is ruled by the base of the spine center. So there's an interesting kind of reversal. The base of the spine center, which is lower than the sacral, rules a part of the etheric physical plane, which is the highest part, the four here. Notice, you know, in terms of being built on multiples of four, that is the case all the way up when it comes to these vortices of force. We have always the four over the three when looking here at the cosmic physical plane. Now, how does that continue, or does it continue on the cosmic astral plane and so forth? Nothing is drawn in for us, so we don't know for certain. Sometimes we have three above four, as in the case of the higher mental plane, the three above the four lower subplanes. But usually it's the four above the three, and one day this egoic lotus will be replaced by vortices of force. And the vortices will be on the first, second, and third subplanes, and therefore combining them with the vortices already having taken form on the fourth subplane, we will again have the four above the three. Okay, so four is a foundational color, a foundational number, rather. All of these things are called spiritual numerals, you know, so colors, notes, numbers, they're all the same in a certain respect, planets as well. So the base of the spine, the square. Now, you know, what's really interesting here is that in order to make a human being sacred or to make a planet sacred, squares have to be turned into triangles. The square has to be bisected. And DK talks about an ancient sage who was teaching him how to esoterically bisect the square. So everything about the space of the spine center is, let's say, foundational. I'm going to put it into red. Maybe, you know, that's not exactly the color, but I don't have orange, you know, so maybe the closest thing is the red. Anyway, there's a very strong ray one aspect with the base of the spine. If you think about Pluto with its powerful ray one, Mars is associated with Kundalini latent, a powerful ray one, probably on a very high level. The Earth, we do know, is the planet most associated solar systemically with the base of the spine, and that Earth has a first ray monad. Mercury is associated with Kundalini active. It does not have the first ray, but the third ray is also to be found. And there's some kind of third ray activity with all the planets that I mentioned. We might even find a way to put Saturn and Uranus at the base of the spine, maybe five planets all together. Saturn and Uranus and Earth and Pluto and Mars. Saturn, Uranus, Earth, Pluto, Mars, and Mercury. That's six. Interesting. Mercury has much of the third ray. Mars is related to high activity. Earth has the third ray personality. Saturn has a third ray monad and maybe a third ray soul as well. Uranus has perhaps a third ray or fifth ray personality, but we find a reference in esoteric astrology where DK basically tells us about the movement patterns of Uranus and how it's always involved with migrations and moving around. And Pluto, in many respects, has the third ray as well. The power of manipulation is there. So all of those planets that might find a way to be associated with the base of the spine center, though individually Pluto, the foremost, and solar systemically Earth, the foremost, all of them have some ray three. And we're talking about the third aspect of fire. This is fire by friction, rising with a first ray effect, but rising in various triangles. Again, the third ray is suggested. Now, it looks like we do skip over the solar, we do skip over the sacral center, and here we go immediately to the solar plexus. The sacral center is said to have six petals. That's not going to be in the multiples of four, though obviously multiples of two will fit all the centers, because none of them is anything but an even number when it comes to the petals that they demonstrate. So it's got 10 petals, and the color is rosy color. It's not one of the major colors, but it is a color associated with the sixth ray and with an admixture of green. So, you know, maybe we can, I like to be coloristically appropriate if possible, but it's not always possible. So here the color is rosy, and I think we do have kind of a rosy color we can draw upon with an admixture of green. This much we can handle. Okay. Now it is a commanding center, and it, for all of the chakras below the diaphragm. It's the apex of the triangle of chakras that we would call normally, counting the sacral center, the base of spine, ray 1, sacral center ray 3, solar plexus ray 2. If we're looking at things in terms of the rays of aspect. And yet, the positioning of the solar plexus is above the others, and positioning does count. The very highest chakra of all is the ruling head chakra, and its position connects it with the first ray. Now this, the rosy color is red with a continued admixture of white, I suppose for gradual purification. Also, the chakras, if we study the introduction to A Treatise on White Magic, we'll see that they are divided into three types. Those below the diaphragm, which basically conform to the third of the major rays. Those in the torso, which conform to the second of the major rays. And those in the head, or at the base of the head, like the Alta Major, conform to the first ray, and that's considered, in a way, the first or the third assembly of chakras. So, you know, we really can go head number one, torso number two, below the diaphragm number three. And so the green is appropriate because everything below the diaphragm is connected with the development of the personality in its selfishly integrated nature. When we enter, you know, above the diaphragm, we're already calling upon the soul development and the possibility of using the head chakras to bring in the presence of the monad is well established. The ajna is interesting because it can be involved maybe as a directing center in any of those stages. The ajna can integrate the selfish personality. At the same time, it has a connection with the true ego, the true spiritual triad or true ego. And from another perspective, the rising kundalini coming over the top of the head comes down again to the ajna center. From which it is directed. So if it's a serpent, the head of the serpent is right there. Now, looks like I've got a big blast of sun coming in from the sides, and it's making for a picture that is not of much use. So what I'm going to do is close that off. All these numbers are there for a reason. It's part of the design of the creator, the numbers and the colors. the purification of the desire nature is operating here in the increasingly rosy color away from Martian red. Now, we do know, we have been told, that is, that there are two centers within the solar plexus, a lower and a higher. The lower one has to do with a more crude type of desire. It's Martian. The higher one has to do with Neptune and with the transference of solar plexus energy to the heart center. So, you know, via Neptune will the Buddhic and soul energy enter into the astral body through the solar plexus. So, you know, pinker and pinker, purer and purer, the astral body becomes, until it's reflecting more, much more Neptune than Mars. The green, I think I've explained, the subdiaphragmatic chakras, and the entire desire nature that the solar plexus represents. Excuse me. Have to do with the building first of the personality and the personality integrated around one pointed desire. Now, when the Ajna center gets into that integration and the throat center can as well, then we have the selfish personality directed by the mind. So there are all these different levels of interpretation with respect to the functioning of any particular center. But we do see that the 10 is not a multiple of 4. So, however, you know what is interesting? The base of the spine has 4. Here we go. Has 4 petals. The sacral center has 6 petals. I used to think it was 8, but that is reserved for a different center, which is rather maybe esoteric. It seems to be a super diaphragmatic center above the diaphragm. And the solar plexus center has 10 petals. So, the overall count of these major centers is 20 petals. Now, the spleen is not considered a major center. All the other three are major. Base of spine, lowest, first ray. Sacral center, medium, third ray, the home of the mental elemental before we begin to really use it in a more abstract manner. And then the solar plexus center with 10. Now that's 20. And that sums to a 2, which connects with the idea that even though the solar plexus is not dispensing the first ray, except that Pluto can be associated with it, that the solar plexus is positionally the highest of the sub-diaphragmatic centers. So somehow, interestingly, 20 is the number. Now, if we add the spleen to it, we're going to get 26. And 26, you know, will, an interesting association is the 26 letters of the alphabet. And here we have the number 8 altogether. So in a way, the lower antikarana, the lower loop of the 8, works sub-diaphragmatically. The number 8 is very, very important. It is scorpionic, it's buddhic, it's related to Mercury, as the and Scorpio is the guardian of the eighth gate, but Mercury is giving us that kind of antichoronic loop, which comes out represented as the figure 8. So either 20, which sums to 2, or 26, which sums to 8. Okay, or with the spleen, 26 summing to 8. You see the two loops, and it makes me think, you know, that at the 8th initiation, the high initiate has the opportunity to spend some time above, well, I wanted to say above water. It's not exactly correct. Some time on the cosmic astral plane, which is watery, and some time in the very material cosmic physical plane. But then, of course, matter is oftentimes referred to as water. But let's just say sometime above and sometime below. And it's a much more refined energy on the cosmic astral plane than on the cosmic physical plane. Even the etheric level of the cosmic physical plane. So neither the Buddha nor the Christ have attained this point. They are still working to complete the 7th initiation, having long ago completed the 6th. The Buddha around 500 BC and the Christ in his previous incarnation at the time of the Ascension, the Garden of Gethsemane, and then followed by the crucifixion of the initiate Jesus and the Ascension of the Christ. The initiate Jesus did not ascend at that time. Of course, since that time, he has become a Chohan and has ascended. I think there are two types of ascension. The 6th initiation, which is oftentimes called the initiation of decision, is also the initiation of ascension, DK tells us. But a still higher type of ascension takes us to the home of the Father, the logoic plane, or it's really a cosmic subplane, on the etheric physical cosmic plane, our normal 7 planes. So the great Lord has ascended to that level, and symbolically sits at the right hand of God the Father. And the Buddha has his focus even more often or with continuity in Shambhala. The Buddha, by the way, the number 8 is always associated with the Buddha. and he did live to be 80 years old, and that was a choice. And always the moon in Scorpio, the eighth sign, is connected with his major events, his birth, his enlightenment, and his death. Okay, there's lots of associations we could get into there. So overall, is the number eight connected with the third aspect? I suppose, you know, if you divide it in half vertically, you're going to get the three out of it. And maybe also the E or epsilon or number five. Anyway, something mental will come out of dividing the figure eight vertically. Some ability to travel to another plane and return, travel and return, comes when you divide the eight horizontally at the crossing point. I just know there's more here regarding this number 10. It does tell us that even though the solar plexus center does not give us the first ray, that it is in a commanding position due to the number 10, which sums to number 1, which is resonant with the first ray. Now, you know, triangles in rotation, maybe at different times, different points of the triangle will be the most important. Positionally, it's the solar plexus, but at the fifth initiation, even though the base of the spine center is the lowest center, positionally, it does represent the first ray. And, in another way, the first aspect of fire by friction. The sacral center, the third aspect of fire by friction, which is the third fire we know, and the solar plexus center, the second aspect of fire by friction. So anything below the diaphragm really refers principally and initially to fire by friction. Though in order to achieve electric fire throughout the system, the base of the spine is needed at the fifth initiation. Okay, lots of correlations there. And basically, excuse me, we're trying to develop the correlational mind, which will lead us into the direct perception, straight knowledge. Pure reason. Now, the heart center, we've jumped here, haven't we? We're above the diaphragm now. The number 12 is so important, and the color is glowing golden. So, you know, when that moment comes, when Venus, which has much to do with the heart center, not exclusively, solar systemically, I think it still has plenty to do with the solar plexus of the solar logos, but the glowing factor shows that we can connect it with the transfiguration, where a man begins to be glorified. Now notice the G-L-O of glowing and the G-L-O of glory or glorified are the same series of letters. There's a kind of completion that is going on here. And the number 12, it represents kind of a Davidic completion. The number 10 represents more the completion of that other part of the parallel kingdoms, the human part, the man part. So here we are with the number 12. It has the one and it has the two. And that is fitting because, let's say, the one and the two. Let's see how I can do this here. Yeah, we'll do it that way. And this, the petals in this center have both the one and the two. If you turn to page 660, I think, in Dinah 2, Discipleship in the New Age, volume 2, you're going to find the a meditation on the heart center, where each of the petals is indicated, 11 of them, and then the last one is left to our intuitive understanding because it's, again, the summation of considering the 11 as a single unit and then adding that single unit to the 11 and getting the 12. So there is generally the idea of love associated with the heart center because it's a very Buddhic center. And the sixth principle of Buddhi is basically love, or maybe we want to call it love wisdom. But from another point of view, the heart is the center of the life aspect and not the consciousness aspect. Although it has plenty of consciousness, heart knowledge, we might say. The number one, I suppose we can associate with the will to live. And it has to do, therefore, with the first aspect of divinity. And did I say that the heart center has a particular connection with the Buddhic plane, and maybe ultimately the most Buddhic of all these signs is Pisces, connected with the sixth principle. And it is the 12th sign. So somehow that number 12, connecting with Pisces, with the Christ decanate, with Buddhi, with the sixth principle of love and wisdom. He does talk about, you know, the pervasive wisdom also of Pisces and the universal love of Aquarius, interesting. So this is another higher meaning of that heart center. It combines both will, the will to live, and consciousness. Moving on then to the throat center. Okay, this is clearly what he has seen. Let's see, silvery blue, 16 petals, color silvery blue, and the blue predominating. Well, I don't have any silvery blue here. I just have, you know, maybe that won't really do. But the idea of green, I think, would, and the third ray would be strongly associated with the throat center. Now, we also have to learn how to use it for purposes of love and wisdom. the silver part connects with the third ray. Silver part connects with ray three. The we might say gold is ray two. So the form building part is definitely there. Now this this idea of blue, it is connected with its complement orange, and I think it will be found in relation to the higher mental plane. The mental elemental is found in the sacral center at first, but then the emphasis shifts to the throat center and the possibility of contacting the higher mind, which is very much ruled by the third ray generically, begins to appear. By the way, astral elemental, obviously, in the solar plexus and the physical elemental. Physical elemental in the base of the spine center, or connected with the base of the spine center. I guess these centers feed those elementals, and gradually a transference takes place, as we know, and that transference marks different initiatory periods. So in a way, silvery blue is a blend of the third ray, silver. Remember, Judas, apparently, you know, sold out the great Lord, or Jesus really, for 30 pieces of silver. So the symbolism is there in the number three. Blue will be the blend of the second ray, and then with silver, the second and third ray together. If it had been blue and gold, it would be very much connected with a real emphasis on the second ray. But our task, since the throat center rules in a way the personality, in other words, of the three highest centers, head, heart, and throat. Throat is associated with the personality, heart with the soul, and head with the monad. So again, we have the need to apply the higher mind here, the three higher subplanes of the mental plane, which are connected with soul and consciousness and with the blue. And we need to blend the blue with the silver. You know, so this is some of the possible symbolism here. 16 petals is interesting. Of course, you know, we could take the one and the six separately, but we can also combine them, and we find that they equal the number seven when added numerologically. And this, of course, makes sense in terms of the manifestational power of the throat center and the fact that eventually magical words, mantric words, have to come out of the throat center in a way guided by the seventh ray and by the planet Uranus. See, there's kind of an indiscriminate, very super productive state of the throat center when it's ruled by the earth. Then comes more caution when it's ruled by Saturn in the case of the disciple. But the initiate will have the seventh ray and Uranus there. Uranus has the third ray connected with it, maybe in the personality, I would think. It has a strong fifth ray also, probably a fifth ray mind. It's, you know, it's the planet of the electricians, you know, fifth ray. So the seventh ray of magical production of effective manifestational mantrams, this is coming through the throat center when it is ruled by the seventh ray and Uranus, which is a little bit maybe later in the day than the rulership by Saturn per se. And, you know, when we consider this shining, silvery, glinting kind of sparkling silver, we do think of Uranus, which kind of gives, a sparkling sheen to whatever it touches. Maybe it's the radiatory quality of Uranus. So it's not the green, as we might otherwise expect, although it is the third ray center. And it's meant to be the place where the second ray, generically the soul, makes contact with the personality and uses the personality, which is generically on the third ray. When I say generically, I mean, you know, symbolically the personality is third ray, symbolically the soul is the second ray. And I'm also saying that silver is a third ray color. And I brought it in to the symbolism of the betrayal of the Christ Jesus in the garden there, where Judas was given the 30 pieces of silver. So basically, he sold out for the personality and did not follow the soul. And then, of course, he realized it and he hanged himself. Interesting, again, you know, it's a method of death that involves the throat center. And I think it was Master Moria that said that it would have been far worse if Judas had not realized what he had done and had not hanged himself. I can't remember exactly the way it was put, but the idea was that it was all part of the process. Okay, so the number 16 sums to the number 7. 7 is manifestational, and 7 represents a high order of energy in the throat center. Not random and chaotic, like the third ray earth, not strictly controlled, like Saturn, but given to the pronunciation of the magical words for the sake of plan-related manifestation. I think, you know, for many of us, the throat center is a mixture, rulership by both Saturn and Uranus, both third ray and seventh ray. Okay, and now the fifth, we have the head centers. And I suppose, you know, the numerology has to be considered there as well. The question is, which centers are we counting? Now, DK is giving us pretty much the ajna and the top of the head, and he's not including the alpha major center, and probably there are other ways to look at the alpha major center. Some think it is generally fourfold, and some of the Hindu books tell us it has 96 petals, which, you know, interestingly, the 9 and the 6 are 15, which are the 6. It is foundational in the skull. And then we have the symbolism of this mountain, or Mount of Golgotha, where the crucifixions took place, Golgotha, meaning the skull. So in order to make 5 centers, he eliminates the sacral center, and he combines the 2 major head centers. Just want to make sure we're doing this correctly. Okay, so between the eyebrows, 96 petals. And I think, you know, probably a fourfold division, each division being 24. 24 being the number of Shambhala. 24 being describing the monadic nature, I think, of our solar logos. 2 and 4, 4 leading to 2. And also, if we consider it to have a second ray monad, it does have also, it has the second ray soul as well, and the second ray personality. All of that together sums to a 6. And if we include the submonadic ray, which would be the 4th, yellow, we get the 10. And so it's interesting that the solar plexus, which is the 10-petaled center, is the solar plexus. Well, I know I'm playing with numbers here a little bit, but trying to look for the clues in some of the esoteric numerology. So between the eyebrows, 96 petals, color 1/2 of the lotus is rose and yellow, and the other half is blue and purple. And I think the rose and the yellow are on the right-hand side, and the blue and the purple on the left-hand side. I think we're dividing it vertically. So, you know, if you think about the symbolism of the colors, it has the 6th ray of devotion. You know, it's a center involved with real vision. And in a way, the 6th ray is the ray of vision. It's always seeing the vision, following the vision, longing to reach the vision, and so forth. The yellow has to do with harmony through conflict aspect of these 4 different colors. And it's Mercurian, even as the rose is closest thing I think we can say is Neptunian. And the other half, the blue and the purple, give us the 2nd ray and the 7th ray. I think Leadbeater has those images, looking at the Ajna Center as he saw it. Okay, well, now here we have the chakras as Leadbeater saw them, and the brow chakra, according to his illustrations here, we don't see the fourfoldness, we see a twofoldness, and we see maybe the lighter, rose color, it's not very clear, and yellow, and we see it on the left hand side. So our left eye would show that. And then the right eye would show the blue and the purple. Again, they are not distinguished horizontally. They are sort of mixed together. So whichever way we see it, the right eye is connected with buddhi, and the left eye with manas. Now, do we think then that the rose and the yellow would be connected with manas, and the blue and the purple, or blue and violet with buddhi? Well, it's possible. Yellow is a buddha color, but so is blue. So there may be some better images somewhere. At the moment, these are the ones that seem to be appearing. And the images are from his book on the chakras. Okay. And let's see, Leadbeater, man visible and invisible. I can try that too. Let's see here. If it's possible, yes, it is possible. Okay. So to resume the sharing, this looks mostly auric, and some somewhat unpleasant images are there. No, but we're not going to be able to find it in that particular book, no. Now, when it comes to, no. We will not be able to see that. Okay, so this is the one that we have to work with, and whereas the petals seem clearly divided in the other cases, it's quite clear that if the observer is looking straight at the brow, that the right hand, let's see, let's get this correct. The right-hand side of the circle is this, and I would say blue above and violet below. And here are the yellow and the rose. And I'm not sure about whether we have yellow above and rose below or vice versa. So basically, we have to decide which ones of these colors correspond with the right eye of buddhi and which with the left eye of manas. And that is, from these illustrations, not clear. At one point, I thought I was quite clear about it, but that was a long time ago. and needs to be reviewed. Okay, now let's see where we are. See, here's another one, another illustration, but it is so vague that we really cannot make anything out of it. So we'll come back over to this point. The two head centers, that's what we're dealing with. And between the eyebrows, 96 petals. Interesting about the 9 and the 6. You know, if you turn that around, you're going to get the sign Cancer. And the idea is that the 9 comes downward and the 6 goes back upward. So we'll just have to leave that as undecided at the moment. So here we have the rose color, and here we have the yellow color. And here, the blue. Let's make it, you know, we'll use the darker blue. And here, there is no purple. So maybe the closest we can come is, well, there is a purple, violet, but it's very, I'll have to make it much bigger in order to hope that something can be seen. And there, you know, something can be seen, but it's too big, of course. And here is the blue, and we'll increase that size as well. Okay, and when it comes to the rose color, it's easier. We have something approximating it at least. Okay, and then yellow. Now, of course, the mixture, we don't expect these to be absolutely separated. We do expect some kind of blending occurring. Okay, there we go. All right, now what's the next thing that said? The top of the head. There are 12 major petals of white and gold. Maybe the white is for synthesis and the gold is for the summation of the great second ray, the heart within the head. We notice that that glowing golden color is connected with the heart center, and also the golden color is connected with the heart in the head. 960 secondary petals are arranged around a central 12. And this makes a total of 1,068 petals. There would be 32 left for 1,100 in the two head centers. So we have, or 356 triplicities. All these figures have occult significance, and I suppose a book could be written just on this alone. Roberto Assagioli did ask DK about the head center, and DK sort of demurred and said, well, it's a very esoteric center, and very little is given out regarding its structure. But I think there are enough hints to gather this together. 356 is 8, and 6 is 14 is 5, and 7 and 8 are 15, and the number is 6. So here we have this equals 6. 16 and 8 are 24, or 6. So 6 or 24, the numbers of Shambhala. Okay. And let's get this corrected. No, I'm not going to do that. Stop the highlighting, no color. Okay. Let's see if I can, yeah. That will have to do. And I will basically just make this violet in color. So 24 petals. And then 356 equals 8, and 6 is 14 is 5. Okay. 5 is the total number. Total reduced alpha number. So all of them have an occult significance. Okay, well, I can certainly see that with 960 plus 12, we have 972. So 960. And the number there is 15 or 6 plus 12. Equals 972. Now there are various ways to combine these, and we could play with them. But the most interesting thing to me here is the Shambhala number showing up when we combine the Nine, 60, and the 12. So let's see. See, basically, the way we've arrived at this is 960 arranged, maybe in 10. Ascending of 96, 96, 96, or we could also do it 108. Let's see. If we stratify the 960 into 10 groups, we have 96 in each. And there's a way to do it with 108 as well. And let's see if we can find that. As we divide 960 by 12, let's see what happens. It comes out 80. See, that's not the one I'm looking for. No, that's not it. Well, I find the more that I get into this, the more very close attention it requires. The number 96 in the Hindu books has to do with the Alpha Major, and in all the books has to do with the Ajna Center, 4 times 24. So it's the Shambhalic number times the 4, which is connected with the square, the base, in this fourth round. However, I want to say this. Let us also look for the relationship of the number 108 to the petals of the center. And we will find that 960 plus 12 divided by 108 equals 9, the number of completion. And we have to remember that this is a Shambhalic center, is a center, and relates to the 108 Kumaras who came from the Venus chain of the Earth. Earth scheme. So these particular lords of the flame, very advanced, more advanced than solar angels, came from the Venus chain of the Earth scheme. And maybe the way to see that would be to I'm going to try to go over here and go to the Alice Bailey diagrams and let's see if I can find those. I think I'm coming pretty close. Well, this is, let's see what happens here. Or maybe I can find them in Tuya's. There, no, right here is the is what we're looking for. Here's the Venus chain. Let me put that in so you can see it. The Venus chain, notice it's a pentagon, interestingly enough, with a five-pointed star drawn to the vertices. From this globe, which is either the second or sixth, depending on how you count, esoterically or mystically, occultly or mystically, it came, the Lords of the Flame came to the Venus globe of our fourth chain and thence to the Earth globe of our fourth chain. And their number was 108. Sanat Kumara is usually considered to be the 105th Kumara out of 104 more visible, and the three esoteric Kumaras round out to 108 Kumaras. Okay, so in short, the number 108 has to be considered in relation. And when in relation to the different parts of the head center, all the temples of India are based on this number 108, and I suppose in some way dramatize the presence of the 108 Kumaras or Lords of the Flame. The positions of these great beings have been since taken by human beings, except, of course, for the very highest of them, the three Buddhas of activity, who were planetary logar, giving you an idea of the status of these Kumaras, and the three esoteric Kumaras, of which little is said except that there is a rotation between the Buddhas of activity and the esoteric Kumaras. So maybe all of them are of that high status, having been planetary logoi in a previous system, or at least something equivalent to that. Well, you know, there's a lot of thinking that has to go into this. Oh, I wanted to say one more thing. If you divide 960, the number of petals that are around the main 12, by 108, you get this interesting figure, 8.88, et cetera, et cetera. All these eights, and we have to consider how the petals are arranged, again, in these figure eights, one loop on either side. So that will have significance. And if you divide 960 by 12, well, maybe we've, have we done that? 960 divided by the number 12, we're going to come up with 8. So, and then there will be 8 tiers of stratified petals, possibly, and the ninth would complete it. So there would be 8 tiers of stratified petals, stratified circles of petals. Yes, 8 tiers of stratified circles of petals plus the central 12. So, which would be 9. So, 9 being the number of completion. I realize, you know, if I really look at it, I'm just throwing out some ideas here about which a book should be written, or could be written, or maybe has been written from the numerological perspective. It's a difficult subject, and we would have to get into the meaning of the different tiers of petals. So basically, there could be 10 tiers of 96, and see, 9 and 6 is 15 is 6, okay. Or we could have 8 tiers of basically a 12-fold configuration plus the central tier, or the central lotus, 12-petal lotus, the heart and the head, and that would round it off to 9. So the best that I can hope is that these ideas, admittedly not really synthesized yet, provoke some thought in us about the occultism of the sort of funnel, sort of cone of centers that we would find on top of the head. Now, given the shape of the cone, we would find perhaps the size of the petals being reduced as we rose. Either that or something stranger yet, different numbers of petals in each tier. But that, you know, becomes too speculative, and we can't really get into that. Let's just say the important numbers are nine. Let me summarize here by saying the important numbers in this consideration are 96, 960, 10, 12, 8, and 9. Oh, and 108 for the Lords of the Flame, or these Kumaras. And wouldn't it be interesting if somehow each of the petals found a way to reflect one of the 108 Lords of the Flame, or Kumaras. But, you know, that is speculation. And then, of course, we have to add also 1068. I think that's the number that is suggested here. Yeah, 1068. These are the main numbers that I would work with in trying to figure out this, some of the correspondences and the correlations with the head center, which DK said is so occult that it just has not been elaborated exoterically. Okay, friends, you know, I waded into the jungle there, I'm afraid, or at least made my way into a jungle and trying to find a path through it. And I'm realizing that in order to find a path into the numerology of the head center, we have to follow these hints and do so meticulously. It's pretty clear that there is a cone-like structure on top of the head. Maybe what is not clear is how many petals are in each stratum of the cone, or how many strata there are. And we're, you know, dealing with these numbers to try to give us the hint. But let's say Shambhala definitely works through this system of petals and tiers of petals. And we cannot forget there's more to it, you know. We cannot forget the seven major centers within the head, nor can we forget, as the Tibetans sort of wear this feathered-like head apparatus, we cannot forget the ajna system of chakras, which follows that curve. And maybe when we add all these numbers together, we'll get yet another number, which will be of deep significance to us. So far, in adding the 960, the 12, and the 96 of the Ajna Center, we get 1068, which leaves us with 32 remaining. And we'd have to see whether we can fill in that 32. Interesting, the 32 in Masonry is the number of degrees before the special 33rd degree occurs. And I can't help but think that today, being the 33rd anniversary of the founding of the University of the Seven Rays, that somehow that question is not as far-fetched as it might at first seem to be. So I'm going to leave off here, probably mercifully. We'll get into program 22, and basically DK has taken this information from C.W. Leadbeater's The Inner Life, and he must have validated that information. So I would say the numbers have been correct. I just want to say that when I think of the cone on top of the head, I do think of the Kabbalic structure and the 10 dimensions of cosmos. I think of, you know, 7 plus 3. In the Kabbalah, 3 are hovering above the 7. Okay. So if we have 960, we would have 10 tiers of 96 petals, 10 circles, with 3 of them being the superior 3, the correspondence to Kether, Chokmah, and Bina, hovering above the 7 below. And then that seems to me a good number, the number 10, to represent the power of Shambhala. But maybe there's a way that that head center can be related to the first ray, but also related to the Devic evolution, dealing then with the number 12. And there we would have to divide the 960, not that there would be 12 tiers, but that we would divide the 960 by the number 12. And there we would, you know, probably find, that's interesting, the number of hierarchy, number 11, would show itself. But okay, look, I'm just speculating here about what could become an interesting book when the time is right. And obviously, we don't know enough yet. Certainly I don't. But I'm at least speculating about how to use these particular numbers and what insight into the head center it may give. The 12 is a Devic number, and the 10 is a first ray number. Interestingly, man is a combination of ray 1 and 2. Mankind proceeds by destroying. And the Devic kingdom is a combination of ray 2 and 3. And they meet, in a way, on the second ray. The Devas are more the builders, manipulators, and man is the destroyer of that which has been built and which he has used in the sense of love, wisdom. I drew a diagram when I was doing these things on in written form, with the man being in a square, 1 and 2, and the Devas 2 and 3. So maybe there is a man-like approach, sort of a first ray approach to these petals. Interesting, of course, the 3 would be there as well, wouldn't it? you divide 960 by 3, you're going to get 32. And you can also divide 972. Let's take no chances here. 972 divided by 3, I think it comes out evenly as 324. And then he also had the 356 triplicities there as well. So it would be, you know, excuse my musings, it would be a profound book, and it would probably reveal much that should not yet be exoterically revealed. I'm looking at these three numbers, you know, and I'm seeing them in sequence, and certain things suggest themselves to me, but I'm going to spare myself and I'm going to spare you by not getting into that. Okay, so that'll be it for now. And if this program has been a little disjointed as I ran into this wall of numbers, then I apologize for that. But at least there are a few hints. It's a shambolic center, and it has actually three parts, even four parts. The centers within the head, the centers in the ajna group of centers, and then the cone and the central 12. Maybe the cone and central 12 can be counted together. Possibly. You know, I really have to stop. But the way of counting, the same kind of system, is important when it comes to revealing things about the system. I mean, when you look at the egoic lotus, for instance, you can count in 3, you can count in 5, you can count in 16, you can count in 12, in 13. There's different groupings that you can use. And it looks like when dealing with the head center, there are different groupings that are approached through the use of different numbers. What's important in the whole thing is to get an idea of how divine purpose can work out in our individual and group life, and to carry that purpose forward. The technicalities, the occult technicalities, will all fall into place as we proceed, and I don't think we should get especially hung up on all these numbers, just the way I did in this program. Okay, well, we'll get on to other things next time. Thank you for your participation. Lots of love, many blessings, and that'll be it for the moment.